Can you open with me to Matthew chapter 25? Each time we come to give exhortation or to preach the word of God, sometimes it's difficult to pick it up, a topic. So I always try to let the Lord lead and say, Lord, what do you want us to share with one another today? So let's go to Matthew chapter 25. So I will more or less just flow as the Lord leads today, instead of making a great sermon. In the book of Matthew chapter 25, the Lord himself gave three parables in that Matthew chapter 25. And those three parables are kind of linked together, and that is what I'm going to talk about today. These three parables, sometimes we have given our own meaning to the first one, which was talking about the 10 virgins. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, Behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, Give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, saying, Not so, lest there be not enough for us and you. But go ye rather to them that sell, and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgins, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, Verily I say unto you, I know you not. Verse 13, Watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. Praise the Lord. Amen. Well, I've read this 100 times since I've been a believer. And we usually try to say this, he's talking about the rapture. Some people will be left behind. But that's not what I'm going to talk about today. Let's consider what distinguishes these wise virgins from the foolish. Just in the natural sense. These guys, these ladies, because they were white people, they were virgins, so we call them ladies. They took their lamps and did not take extra oil in the vessels. And the other wise virgins, they took their lamps and took extra oil in their vessels. But let's stop there and just think about that. How did they know to take extra oil? Is what I wanted to meditate on. How did they know to take extra oil? Somebody pulled them aside and said, wait, this is going to be long. Somebody taught them. I meditate on things like this at the point and say, wait a minute, what gave them that insight? Some people say, oh, some people are just naturally smarter than other people. Is that so? Maybe. Are some people just naturally smarter than other people? Or is it just experience has taught some people? Knowledge, experience. We must not despise those things. That is what I first want to talk to you about. Don't despise the knowledge you could have acquired from somewhere else, which comes perhaps by experience, perhaps by education, perhaps by reading some articles, and you just get that edge over the other people. Because you think about that, they got extra, somebody tell them it's going to take a long delay, or they were just aware of some experience in their life that made them take extra oil. So that is the first thing that I meditated upon. What is the difference? What did they, who told them to do that? So think about that. Now, what I really want to point out in that particular situation is the fact that what those wise virgins did is what you would call some form of work.
they walk, they do something, or they did something. Okay? And this other way, the other part is they did not do something. Now, I'm going to point to this in a way that it is not your works of righteousness that's going to save you. Amen? Remember that. We're not talking about the works of righteousness saving us from hell. That your work is going to come at some point after you have been saved. Amen? So this is what I'm going to point out in this chapter 25 of Matthew. Because when you look at that particular parable, the Lord was talking about these virgins. They were separated because this one did something, this guy didn't do something. But they were virgins. So let's use the word virgins, mean they were all saved, born again, Christians. But some did something, some did not do something, or they forgot to do something. So the works become very, very important. The works of righteousness after you are saved. Amen. I'm trying to emphasize that after you have been saved from your sins, your work is very, very important for the Lord. How you conduct your life. When I say walk now, you're going to analyze that in a few minutes. Let me go to the next parable, which starts right there from verse 14. So why I just read this morning, because I had something prepared, and I said, no, don't do that. Go to 25, and I saw these three parables, they were all following one another. And I said, what is the relationship between these three? Or could it be these apostles or whoever wrote Matthew, they just remember this and put it next, and remember that and put it next? Or God orchestrated that these three parables should follow one another. So let's see the link. In verse 14, Matthew chapter 25, he gave another parable. For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country, who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. Unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same, and made them other 5 talents. And likewise he that had received 2, he also gained other 2. But he that had received 1 went and digged in the earth, and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh, and reckoneth with them. And so he that had received 5 talents came, and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. His Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things, I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. He also that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them. His Lord said unto him, well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things, I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Then he which had received 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art an hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not straw. And I was afraid, and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Look, there thou hast that is thine. His Lord answered and said unto him, thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knowest that I reap where I sowed not, and gather where I have not sowed. Thou ought therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received my own with usury. Take therefore the talent from him, and give it unto him which hath 10 talents. For unto everyone that hath shall be given, and shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. And then verse 30 is serious. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Amen. Well, look at that parable. I read the whole thing so that you get the background of what you are saying. What is this talent all about? It's also work. They are serving their master. And there is a purpose why when the Lord gave parables, he actually seems to categorize things. The first category, 10 talents. The second category, 2 talents. The third category, 1 talent. And he said, according to their several ability. So he already knew them. And this is where, before I go to the next parable, this one I'm going to kind of digress in a moment. He gave a first category, 10 talents. Another category, 2 talents. Or 5 talents, 2 talents, and then 1 talent. According to their several ability. Now this, I preached a sermon here before, not on a Sunday, where the Lord categorizes faith also. Faith. What level of faith are you operating on? There is a no faith, there is a little faith, there is a great faith. And I'm going to go into that in a few minutes. Because you are seeing this, what is faith also? Faith has to do some work. Faith with action. Faith has to do some work. And this work we are talking about is not the work that will take you to heaven. It is the work that will give you reward from Christ. Reward from Christ. So when he talks about 10 talents, or 5 talents, 2 talents, 1 talent, he's talking about they served their master and he rewarded them. You can see the reward, enter into the joy of the Lord. He said, I will make you ruler over 10 cities, things like that. Now, I said, Christ specifically shows 5, 2, 1, specifically categorizing things. And I'm going to go in a moment to how faith also is categorized. Let's take the first example of great faith that God told us in the Bible. In the Gospel of Luke, chapter 7. Now wait a minute, I don't want to go back to this and finish this before I go to faith. Don't go to Luke chapter 7, but let me just go to the next parable there, which is started again in verse 31. Matthew chapter 25, verse 31. I'll come back to faith, categorizing them. It's all the same thing. Your work being rewarded. And the work that he is talking about, which is the work your faith is really going to do, is what we are going to talk about in the next. But let's talk about this category or this next parable. Verse 31. Then the Son of Man shall come in his kingdom, in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. And before him shall be gathered all nations. And he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divided his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was an hungry, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me in. Naked, and ye clothed me. I was sick, and ye visited me. I was in prison, and ye came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee an hungry and fed thee, or thirsty and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick or in prison and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, ye have done it unto me. Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was an hungry, and ye gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me not in. Naked, and ye clothed me not. Sick and in prison, and ye visited me not. Then shall they also answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee an hungry, or a thirst, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto thee? Then shall he answer them, saying, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye did it not to one of the least of these, ye did it not to me.
And this shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. Now you see that parable also is talking about works. Now this looks like, well, this is only for the unbelievers, sinners, at the end of the age. But this is talking about works. Some are rewarded, some are not going to be rewarded. When you look at the first three parables, you see the link here. The virgins were separated by something they did, something they didn't do. Think about that. Something they did, something the other one didn't do. Think about that. Whether it is when you are, after you are saved, you must be doing something. You are saved to serve. Amen? Say that to yourself. You are saved to serve. In fact, the scripture says this way, that he died for all, so that they which live will not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him who died for them and rose again. So the purpose he has saved you, you are to now serve the Lord. So now I was telling you in those three parables that now begin to serve in righteousness and your works will go to reward, and there's categories of reward. Just like there will be categories of what your faith will do. Say faith without works is dead. That's what Apostle James was saying. And he was giving an example and said, well, show me your faith by your works. And let's go to Luke chapter 7 now. I want to talk about these categories of faith. There are categories to faith also, which is going to also be categorically rewarded. In Luke chapter 7, we see the story of a centurion. And from verse 1, this centurion's servant was sick. And the centurion was not a Jew, a Roman. He must have been converted to Judaism. He had a servant that was sick. In verse 2, I say, and a certain centurion servant who was dear unto him was sick and ready to die. And when he heard of Jesus, he sent unto him the elders of the Jews, beseeching him that he would come and heal his servant. And when they came to Jesus, they besought him instantly, saying that he was worthy for whom he should do this, for he loveth our nation, and he has built us a synagogue. Then Jesus went with them. When he was now not far from the house, the centurion sent friends to him, saying unto him, Lord, trouble not thyself, for I am not worthy that thou should enter under my roof. Wherefore neither thought I myself worthy to come unto thee, but say in a word, and my servant shall be healed. For I also am a man set under authority, having under me soldiers. And I say unto one, go, and he goeth. And to another, come, and he cometh. And to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. When Jesus heard these things, he marveled at him, and turned him about, and said unto the people that followed him, I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. Now Christ called that great faith. So that's what I'm trying to categorize faith. And I'm going to also give an example of a woman that came to the Lord Jesus Christ in Luke chapter 7, or Mark chapter 7, verse 24. So it's a Syrophoenician. We all know some of these stories. The woman was not a Jew also, a Syrophoenician. She had a daughter that was afflicted with a devil. And she came looking, she saw Jesus came by their town, and she came following Jesus. Mark chapter 7, verse 24. And the Bible said, the Lord Jesus kind of ignored this woman for a while. In verse 24, Mark chapter 7. Let me read verse 25. For a certain woman whose young daughter had an unclean spirit heard of him and came and fell at his feet. The woman was a Greek, a Syrophoenician by nation. And she besought him that he would cast forth the devil out of her daughter. But Jesus said unto her, let the children first be filled, for it is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it unto dogs. And she answered and said unto him, yes, Lord, yet the dogs under the table eat of the children's crumbs. And he said unto her, for this thing go thy way, the devil is gone out of thy daughter. Now in another rendering of that, he
They just kind of ignored the woman, and the woman kept following them, crying, until it was bothering them. And the apostles came to Jesus Christ and said, "Send her away, she's bothering us." And that is another example of how the woman exercised her faith. She would not take no for an answer. And Christ tried to turn pale and said, "Let's give the bread to the children first. You're not a Jew." And she said, "Even the dogs, they eat the crumbs from the master's table." So the Lord said, that was also great faith. So I'm giving you different categories of faith. This man just said, the first centurion said, "Just speak the word only, you don't need to come this far." And the woman, God, Christ turned her down, but she will not take no for an answer. And that's another level of faith. Amen. So I'm giving you categories. Well, what is your faith going to do? The Bible says, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and then temperance and so on. So your faith must work, and when your faith is producing work, God is going to reward you according to how you operate your faith. Amen? Amen. Let me give you another example. The story talk about when the Lord Jesus Christ was walking upon the sea. I'm not going to refer to that. You all know the story. The Lord Jesus was walking upon the sea to go meet the apostles in the night time after they had been going across the go up to the other side. They were going, and the Lord Jesus went to the mountain to pray. Late in the night, so he came down. He saw the boat way over there, and they were hard in rowing. So the Lord Jesus started walking upon the sea to go meet them. The Bible said they all saw him, and they thought it must be a spirit. So they screamed, and he told them, "It is I, be not afraid." And they calmed down, and the Bible said, Peter spoke and said, "Lord, if it be thou, tell me to come to you on the water." And the Lord Jesus Christ said, "Come." So the story said, Peter walked out of the boat onto the water and was walking towards Jesus. And after he saw the wind boisterous, he started sinking, and he screamed on the Lord, "Lord, save me." And the Lord Jesus said, "Wherefore is thou doubt, you of little faith?" So there's a little faith, there's those guys call them great faith. But you see, you have to remember something. Peter, with 11 apostles in the boat, he was bold enough to say, "Tell me to come." And the Lord Jesus said, "Come." And he was bold enough to step out of the boat on the water. So that is some faith. Amen. Now that is little faith. According to Christ, he said that is little, because he started doubting. So Christ called it little faith. Why do you doubt? So we know what is, and there are 11, they don't have faith enough to say, "Tell me also to come." No, they are not bold enough to say that. So there's a no faith, there's a little faith, and there's a great faith. Amen? Amen. And that is what I'm trying to talk about today. Different categories of faith. The same different work that is going to be rewarded. Your faith is to do some work. Amen? And you are called to come and serve the Lord Jesus Christ. Now I'm going to go into the book of Isaiah. Because when we say faith is to do some work, your faith can give you healing for your body. Not so. Amen? And this is what Christ has completed for us on the cross. And it is going to be accompanied by your faith working. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 53. Isaiah, the book of Isaiah chapter 53. Now this is where the word of God was telling us what Christ has come to do for mankind. Verse 1 says, "Who has believed our report? To whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, as a root out of the dry ground. He has no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him." This chapter was prophesying about the Messiah, when he shall come, how he will minister. But what was his ministry going to do? Verse 3 said, "He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid as it were our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not."
Verse 4 says, surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. Verse 5. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. You've got to believe the what the Lord has done for you on the cross, and that is faith. Believe it, and I begin to confess what Christ has done for you, that by his stripes ye were healed. That is your faith. Now you have to remember that I just talk about categories of faith. There was somebody that refused to take no for an answer. There was somebody that believed and just said, just speak the word Christ and my servant shall be made whole. They are all talking about healing. And this is what the Lord has already come to do for mankind. He said, by his stripes we were already healed. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. So these things have been completed. Our healing has been completed 2,000 years ago. You can say 2,000 years ago it is done. However, how you exercise your faith will determine how you are going to be able to make use of all the star Bible verses we are pointing out to you. You got to exercise your faith in this word of God and stand your ground. Like that woman that refused to say, that she could take no for an answer for what she was asking for, healing for her daughter. Healing for her daughter. She stood her ground when it seemed as if Christ was not going to answer her. She refused to budge. She refused to give up. So there is a level of faith that we have to stand like that. And there's another faith that simply strongly believe and say, just speak the word. You don't need to come over here. My servant shall be made whole. Faith is exercising his faith. So your faith is going to have to do some work. That's what I'm trying to point out. I gave you three categories of work in Matthew chapter 25. And what they did, what they didn't do. Take for example, what kind of work do you think this virgin is? What kind of thing do you think they didn't do that make them to have to go back and do it? Well, let's look at it. What did they go to go buy? Oil. What oil means? Let's call it anointing. How do you get anointing? Read the word of God. Pray and fast. That takes time. Amen. So they didn't do it at the right time, and so they waited. So by the time they now needed it, they couldn't get it. So they have to go back and go get it. Maybe after 6 months, then the bridegroom came and they were not ready. Remember, there was a time the pastor Yato was saying over here that make sure you are prayed up. Don't wait till something happens before you are praying. Make sure you are prayed up. So that's an example. Faith has to be by hearing. Faith coming by hearing. And hearing by the word of God. So if you are going to build your faith, there's the hearing you have to do. Study to show yourself approved. Amen? Study the word of God. Listen to sermons that will build up your faith. When there is no sickness, when there is no disease, that is what you should be doing. Building up your faith, your most holy faith, like Apostle Peter said. And that is the work you are going to have to do to get to the level that you need to say, like that centurion, just speak the word and my servant shall be made whole. Or to be able to hang in there, not bulging, when it seems to you that God is not answering and you refuse to give up. Let me give you a personal testimony. There will be a time when you will get it right away. There will be a time when the law will be laid and see how tough you are. Amen. Even in answering your prayer, there will be a time when God will delay to see how you can hold on, how you can hang in there. So it could be in looking for a job, it could be in getting some miracle, it could be in any form. And the Lord might not specialize in pulling the string to the extreme to make sure he wants to see how tough you are. Let me give you a quick testimony that I've written in my sermon in my books many years ago. 1986, my first baby was to be born. My wife was in hospital, admitted,
And the doctor said, well, maybe by the end of the day you will be okay. And they were shaking, no, it's not, the arteriosclerosis is still this much. And I got there, and we were praying, and we have been praying for 9 months. Once your wife is pregnant, you'll be saying, Lord Jesus, when the delivery is going to come, it's going to be smooth. We are claiming the promises of God. Oh yeah, the Lord has done this. He has given us victory. So not that we started praying, we have been praying for 9 months. For believing for miracle that it's going to be easy and smooth. But on the day of the delivery, the Lord stretched my faith. I would say my faith more than just my wife's, because she is going to pain. So it's now going to depend on, the doctor will always ask you, you are the next of kin. Decision making, sometimes they'll be asking the next of kin, especially if you are sick and you can't talk much. Now I remember a woman that her husband was in the hospital, and they were asking the woman to make decisions. You have to do this test, and the woman said she. So now that's her faith, not the faith of the man that was sick. So similar things could be happening in your case next time, where you are the one that's going to make decisions. So to cut short my testimony, got to the point, it was 2 a.m. and she had graduated from 12 noon, and the doctor was calling in to the nurses. How far is the dilation? He said, well, it's still 3 inches. So the man said, well, if my social time is not, then I have to come in and do surgery. And that's what we have been praying for 9 months. Lord, we believe in miracle. There will be no need for C-section. We've been praying for that when everything was smooth. And then the doctor came in, 4 a.m. Sheikh said, Chief, we don't go to see the surgery right now. It's getting too long. I was 12 noon till 4 a.m. second day, getting too long. But we are in praying. I'm saying sometimes the Lord will draw you to see how tough you are. So that's all I can say. The Lord was just drawing down to see how tough you're going to stand. So I said, Doctor, give us 30 more minutes. But the doctor said, well, go ahead. It's going to take us more than 30 minutes to prepare. So he went out and called another doctor. He's going to have to be a chief for when they are doing surgery. So I knelt down, praying. I've been praying since I've been nothing to do with my wife. I've been praying since then. So when that was the final stage, he said he's going to have to call the doctor. They're going to do it now. The doctor has made up his mind. They are going for C-section. He told the nurses, could set up the table. And I said, give her 30 more minutes away. Go ahead, take as much time as you want. So I knelt down by the bed and prayed and said, Lord, this is your last chance, Lord. I've been hanging there for 9 months. We've been praying for 9 months. And there's nothing more. And I called our brother and said, let me call the pastor. Let us pray. We don't want this surgery. And they came, and actually they came earlier before them. So to call the story short, I felt a hand patting on the back. This is physical. I felt a Lord's hand patting on the back where I was standing now. I was the only one in the room with my wife and the baby. And he patted me on the back and said, it's going to be all right. So that was that last minute prayer. I said, this is your last chance, Lord. When this doctor comes in, I don't have any strength to tell him that postpone it anymore. Because I was also tired of waiting. Also, you can be tired of waiting too. You'll be there from 12 noon and it's now 4 a.m. second day. And the Lord gave something to me. He said, when the doctor comes back in, tell him to shake it one more time before they rush to the surgery. So I was waiting. The doctor took almost 1 hour before he came back inside. And I was sitting down. The nurse came now with some papers that said, sign this. And I read through the papers, those are the paper that says, they are not liable if something go wrong in the surgery. It's always their protocol, they give you this paper, and this is going to be C-surgery, and sign your wife's life away. That's really what it says. So I look at it, it's now your faith against the paper. I said, I'm not going to sign this, I just told myself I'm not going to sign this one. I'm believing God that there will be no problem, there will be no C-surgery. So I held the paper, the woman came back and said, where is the paper? I said, I can't stand this, let the doctor come back with it. Somehow the woman didn't know what she was saying. She said, hey, this baby won't come out by C-section. She just said it out of nowhere. I know there were words in people's mouths.
because she was angry that I didn't sign the paper. And I just said out of nowhere to her, I said, that's what you think, but God is greater than you. Amen. I was not angry, but it just came out of my mind, just to respond to what she said. So we waited another 30 minutes, now two doctors came inside. Two doctors. The one that was a real doctor, and the other one that was a specialist in things like this. And he just came and just told us that, well, from what your doctor said, this is the best decision. I waited for him to finish talking. After he finished talking, I said, doctor, can you check it one more time? Doctor laughed. Okay. Exactly how he said it. Okay. So they checked one more time. What happened? What? It's different. Because they told him it was 3 centimeters. Difference, almost 8 now. And the doctor quickly got his own hand glove and shaking it. What did you guys do? So I was relieved. I said, it's Jesus that came inside and healed him. He said, that's the Jesus. Well, what I'm trying to point out is the longevity of that delay. Why did the Lord wait that long before he came in and triggered this thing? Because there will be a time when you have to be like that Syrophoenician woman. It looks like he was not answering us for 9 months, and when it was the last day, it looked like he was not answering. But am I going to give up on faith? Am I going to give up on prayer as a resource? Am I going to give up on talking and crying out to him as a resource? That is when he will be testing. There will be a time that he might want to test how long you can endure. So I say, well, we just don't know what you are talking about. I just think I'm that priest. It could be, but see, God is able to do all things. Amen? Amen? So that is what you are talking about. There is a level of faith that you will have to get to give you a reward. It's the reward of your faith God is talking about. And it's where faith is working. What is the work your faith is going to do? It's going to be some time to hang in there and talk. Amen? Think about that. And I'm going to give you another Luke chapter 8 verse 43. Luke chapter 8 verse 43. This is another faith of a woman. I said faith has to do some work. In Luke chapter 8 verse 43, this woman came having problem with herself. Issue of blood, it was called. And somebody told her about Jesus. And she had this opportunity. That Jesus Christ came to his town. He saw the crowd coming. And he told herself that if I can but just touch the air, because people have been talking about what has been happening, that they were just pressing in to touch Jesus. It was not something new to them. They were pressing in to touch Jesus. Many times they were just pressing just to touch him because virtue was coming out of him. All those that were sick. That was the type of anointing that he brought when he was on earth. And this woman had heard those news that they were touching. Apostle Peter, the same thing happened when after Apostle Peter started ministering after Christ resurrected, remember? They said the shadow of Peter was healing the sea. So people were believing for that, they were lining up where his shadow would be. It's going to be the sons on this side, it's going this way, it's going to be there, put your sick people on this side. And they began to believe in that. They were exercising their faith. So this was what was going on in the time of the Lord when this woman heard about Jesus, that you just have to touch him. Touch his clothes. Something is happening. So she believed. And she pressed in the crowd, running after them, until she was able to touch the hem of the garment. But it is the faith of that woman that did the miracle. And then Jesus Christ said, who touched me? Verse 45. Who touched me? And they were looking at one another and said, well, too many crowd, Master, can you see anybody touching you? We are all touching you here. They said, no, I just touching him just for fun, just because he's close. But this woman had faith to touch for what she wanted to get. Amen. So that is our faith doing some work. Our faith doing some work, and the Lord rewarding you according to what your faith is claiming. What your faith is claiming. Verse 46. Jesus said, somebody has touched me, for I perceive that virtue is gone out of me. And when the woman saw that she was not healed, she came trembling and falling down before him. She declared unto him before all the people, what cause she had touched him, and how she was healed immediately. And he said unto her, daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith has made thee whole. Go in peace. So what have I talked about? Talk about three different categories of faith. High, great faith, medium faith, like Apostle Peter said, low faith. And there is no faith at all. What kind of faith are you operating with the Lord Jesus Christ? It's going to be what is going to be rewarded when we get to meet him. It's your faith doing some work. And he also said, your faith helping, like he said, I was sick, you visited me. See, still, I don't have some form of faith doing some work. And Apostle James said, well, show me your faith by your work. Your faith has to do some work. So our faith has to work. Whatever you are going to do, it could be the fasting, when we declare a fast every end of the month. Do you participate? Do you participate? Because it's a matter of faith. If you don't believe anything will happen, if you don't believe you can get anything from it, you will not fast. But you are to fast to build up this faith, to get yourself to a level higher than what you were before. Your faith has to be doing some work. The same thing with the works of righteousness, when you say you have to show the fruits of patience, meekness, love, gentleness. Because your faith produces all those works. Those are all very important for you and for me as we follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen?
Amen.
And if you are here today, you perhaps are not even taking the first step. The first step is you want to enter into that kingdom by accepting Jesus as your Lord and Savior. You've got to do that first step. When you are part of him, when you have been born in him, when you are in his kingdom, then all this work we are talking about will be rewarded. Your work will not take you to heaven, but it will give you reward after you have been saved. But those who are saved, Apostle Paul said, teach them to show good works, because that is why we are saved. To show good works for necessary use. That is one of the things that is the instruction for we that are believers. After you are saved, you need to be showing good works for reward. I say, if you have not given your life to Christ, today is your day. And if you want your faith to be boosted up, I just need some more boost of faith. Today is your day. We're going to pray with you. And if you are afflicted, you need some deliverance. Today is your day. Because the Lord is able. He's able to save. He's able to deliver. He's able to. In fact, there was a time he said, increase our faith. They asked Lord, say, increase our faith. How was he able to increase it? By anointing. There's impartation. You can be imparted with anointing also. Today is your day. So let's start our prayer. That's why I'm going to write it up. The Lord has already completed these things for us on the cross. He has paid for it all. In Isaiah chapter 53 that I was reading, the Bible said he put upon him the iniquity of us all. Now, at the last part of it, he said he bear the iniquity of many, which means it's for everybody but only those that come forward to accept it. The Lord put upon him the iniquity of us all, the whole world. He put the iniquity of us all upon himself. But at the end, he said, we bear the iniquity of many. The many separates them from the all. The many is, many are called, few are chosen. The whole world is saved, the only those that accept him are really being saved. So if you have not committed your life into his hand, you want to really come to know Jesus and be saved, you need to come forward and pray for you. Take one opportunity to pray for you. Now, if you also need deliverance, you need the boost of your faith, you can come forward and pray for you and just minister to you. And otherwise, we're going to pray. So if you want some boosting of your faith, come forward and just be around the anointing that brings you. The anointing brings you. Praise the Lord. Send the cover of the shape of the cover of the cover of the cover of the super. So begin to talk to the Lord yourself. Just begin to talk to the Lord. Increase my faith, Lord. Increase my boldness. Think of Apostle Peter. He was a fisherman. He knew he could be drowned in that water. That's why he was in a boat. But somehow something came upon him. He was bold enough to say, tell him to come on the water. He goes, okay, come. And he stepped in and started going and he walked some feet. Before he started doubting, after the realization of what he was doing came upon his spirit. But see, there still needs some boldness. So dare, what to dare demon.
There is need for some daredevil when it comes to walking with God, where you are not afraid. If I perish, I perish. That was what Esther told Mordecai. When you look like you might be killed by the king, if you go and do what the Lord said you shouldn't do to save your people. And she said, pray for me, fast for me, I'm going to fast, and I will go before the king. If I perish, I perish. That's like a daredevil. Some boldness, ready to die. But that means sometimes we need some impartation for him to do that. So help us, Lord Jesus, help us, God. Just lift up your hands, you can come. And let God impart some degree of boldness, some degree of faith to you, Father. Let his faith rise up right now to higher levels in the name of Jesus Christ. So boldness, Lord, has believed in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And you are Israelites. Different levels of faith, my Lord. These are faith in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. By the anointing, Jesus, break every yoke, Lord. Thank you.
Have a nice weekend. A nice evening.